Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Welton Gaddy. It was last summer that J. Michelson wrote Apocalypse Now and Then, Our Global Death Wish, an article for Religion Dispatches. Seems timely, so I'm pleased to have Jay back with us now. Jay, thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Welton.
Last summer, you were looking at a couple of books that underscore the fascination we humans have with the concept of end times. Would you apply these concepts to the deadly-sounding fiscal cliff as well as the supposed Mayan prediction?
Well, it is certainly close to December 21st. I guess we're just a couple of weeks out. And it's interesting how that particular apocalypse seems to have died out a little bit. I guess we have too many real things to worry about. In my opinion, actually, the fiscal cliff, I mean, that's a nice media term for what's going to happen. But that actually is something that's real. There are a series of steps that will take place if an agreement's not reached on the budget. I think where I'm seeing a lot of the apocalyptic thinking now is this looming sense that we've seen, particularly on the right, that everything we love in America is somehow in grave threat. You know, this isn't new, right? I mean, McCarthy mm-hmm. said the same thing, and you know, folks have been saying it's the end of the American Republic since the beginning of the American Republic. But we really, you know, just a couple of days ago, when the Senate voted down this treaty on behalf of disabled folks, a treaty which was no stronger than our own domestic law, one of the senators said it was a march towards socialism. You know, and that idea that any step, any particular incremental decision, even one that has nothing to do with socialism, is somehow a threat to the American experiment, that I think is apocalyptic thinking.
You wrote about a secular form of millennialism feeding these fears. You know, I don't remember apocalyptic being a word that we used much in the civil realm for a long time. We could talk about it in relation to wars, of course, but not so much in terms of imposing decisions and so forth in the civil realm. And now it's right there that all of these are apocalyptic matters. So how expand that, if you will, about how this secular kind of fear is being fed?
Sure. So I think, you know, just on one thing that we've really learned in the last few years from scholars is how widespread this phenomenon is. It really does seem to be part of human nature. You know, we're all mortal beings, and to varying degrees, we're all aware that we're not going to be here forever, and that the world that we know is going to end when we die. And that seems to get displaced. And those two books that I reviewed, both of which were like 800 pages long, really voluminous works of scholarship, really talk about how pervasive that is. You know, not just in kind of Christian end times theology that, you know, the rapture is imminent or that the apocalypse is nigh, but in every religious tradition and even in secular traditions. So, for example, in fascism or in Marxism or in some of the sort of strange Tea Party American ideologies that we've seen just in the last few years. Now, this is a really widespread phenomenon, and sometimes it is a notion that, you know, there's about to be a cataclysmic event. So December 21st, that's going to supposedly happen regardless of what we humans do. And sometimes it's seen as a result of human action. Such as, you know, so the America is going to slide into socialism, or we're going to provoke divine wrath because of actions that we undertake. And it's a fascinating variety of beliefs that even folks who are not religious, we do tend toward this thinking. And just, you know, on that, it's interesting on the December 21st date, that's not something that's not coming from Harold Camping or a Christian fundamentalist. Mm-hmm. That's coming from the New Age, right? That's coming from mm-hmm. folks who maybe don't identify as religious but might identify as spiritual. And it just goes to show how pervasive end times thinking really is.
Well, we think of ourselves as advanced in 2012, but these fears seem to come from a very primitive place deep within us. I mean, are we fascinated by these fears for the same reason that people like to watch Nancy Grace and run toward an accident to see all of the tragedy of it?
That's a really interesting thought. I think, you know, for me, and I think I studied apocalyptic messianism for my PhD, actually, in a sort of obscure 18th century messianic movement. You know, what's come up in that study, I think, I've written two causes of this obsession. One I mentioned before, the sort of psychological notion that we are all going to die and that this is really a displaced kind of fear about death or a death wish, like mm-hmm. the title of that article suggested. The other is actually an ethical preoccupation. You know, when we look out at the world, obviously, whatever our views, you know, progressive or conservative or whatever our orientations are ethically, the world does not measure up to our ethical standards.
Mm-hmm.
That's just always been the case, and it doesn't matter what those standards are. The world is imperfect, and it doesn't measure up. And a lot of millennialist apocalyptic thinking is a way to kind of rectify that cognitive dissonance. So right now things are terrible, but after the second coming, there's going to be justice and there's going to be order. You know, PBS was just re-airing their fantastic program, the Frontline Special mm-hmm. on the historical Jesus. And, you know, at the time of Jesus, there were a number of sects who believed that the end of the world was nigh. And they believed that because they looked out at the world, you know, the Roman occupation of the Holy Land, for example, and it seemed so radically at odds with their conception of how the world should be. And so they deferred this idea. It was, now it's not good, but after some cataclysmic event, the world will be as it should.
Well, I want to quote you. These are your words. It's almost like we'd rather the world be destroyed than for it to be as impersonal, as relentless as it appears. Wow. How'd you get up feeling the next morning after writing that?
Well, I have to say, actually, you know, doing this work actually provides me a kind of comfort. You know, it is so insane to look out, you know, back when we cared what Michelle Bachmann thought. You know, the fact that someone who was a serious presidential candidate, at least for 5 minutes back there, uh-huh. really believed and said that in her belief that the end times are nigh, that's really scary, yeah. right? I mean, this is someone who wanted to be the leader of the free world. And, you know, one thing that's true, if you think the end is nigh, you're going to act that way, and it tends mm-hmm. to be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
So whether that's an extreme, you know, a cult that commits suicide or that kills other people, or whether it's an Islamist who commits an act of terrorism, if you think that the end of the world is coming or that radical violent revolution is needed, you're going to act appropriately. So I think it's really terrifying. But, you know, coming to see that this is a part of human nature, that's something that's been with us for thousands of years, actually for me has given me a little bit of comfort. And it, you know, we're old enough to remember that 2012 is not the first time that the world was going to end, according to sort of secularism, right? Remember Y2K?
Mm-hmm.
That on New Year's of 2000, all of the, you know, all of the ATMs were going to break, and not just that, you know, there was going to be global catastrophe somehow unleashed. You know, folks who believed in Y2K were not particularly religious one way or another, but that was obviously a very religious moment in our supposedly secular culture.
I've been speaking with Jay Michelson, associate editor at Religion Dispatches and founder of Nehirim, GLBT Jewish Culture and Spirituality. Jay's most recent book is God Versus Gay, The Religious Case for Equality. Jay, I want to thank you for being with us today and wish you a happy Hanukkah. See, this year it has worked out for you. Whether the Mayans were right or wrong, you'll be able to celebrate the Festival of Lights all the way through. Christmas, maybe not so much.
I'm glad to be on the safe side this year.